11. In the soup. Kamikaze watched with round, scared eyes as Hiccup fell past her, arms flailing wildly. In ordinary circumstances, that would have been the end of Hiccup, for the great hall was fully 20 metres high and he should have broken his neck falling all the way from the very top. But in a series of tremendous strokes of luck, the traditional Freya's Day Eve dish was onion soup. And on Hysteria, it was served in a truly gigantic cauldron, 2 metres wide and 1 metre deep. This pot was sitting on the table directly below the falling Hiccup, and he plunged straight into it, bottom first. If the soup had been any hotter, Hiccup would have been burned to death. But it had been on the table for some time and had cooled to a pleasant swimming temperature. If the hysterics had been any fonder of onion soup, it would not have been deep enough to break Hiccup's fall. But the hysterics only served onion soup because it was the traditional thing to do and had hardly touched it. So Hiccup merely bumped his bottom gently on the bottom of the cauldron and rose to the surface, coughing and spluttering, his hair full of onions. There was a shocked silence. Nothing puts a quicker stop to a jolly meal than a stranger and a great deal of snow suddenly falling onto the banqueting table. The hysterics sat amazed, spitting snow out of their beards, staring at the unexpected visitor gasping in their soup. Norbert the Nutjob was the first to recover, shaking the snow off and leaping to his feet. "Assassins!" he screamed. "Seize him!" 20 warriors sprang onto the table. Hiccup tried to swim out of trouble, but his backstroke couldn't make up for the fact that he was entirely surrounded. 2 large hysterics dragged him out of the soup and dropped him, dripping and gloopy, in front of Norbert the Nutjob.
"Are there more of you?"
barked Norbert the Nutjob, brandishing the blackened blade of his axe in front of Hiccup's face. Hiccup shook his head, spraying soup in all directions. Norbert the Nutjob and his warriors peered upwards. Kamikaze was hanging way up in the darkness of the ceiling, and her black clothes came in handy, for they could not see her.
"Search the roof and the village!" screamed Norbert the Nutjob.
He turned to face Hiccup again. Norbert the Nutjob had a tick in his left eye, and it was jerking around frantically like a fly doing a jig.
"I'm sure I recognise you," he said,
using the edge of a nearby warrior's cloak to wipe the soup off Hiccup's face.
"Great thumbnails of Thor, it's the revolting hooligan worm who shot an arrow in my royal bottom yesterday."
This wasn't a very good start.
"How do you do?"
gulped Hiccup politely.
"I do not very well," screamed Norbert the Nutjob. "My buttocks are burning."
The warriors came panting back into the hall and said they had searched both the roof and the village and there were no more assassins to be found. One Eye and Toothless must have flapped off to hide in the darkness. Norbert the Nutjob looked rather cross.
"You're a very small assassin," he said, huffily,
removing Hiccup's sword and stuffing it in his own sword belt.
"And so, come to think of it, was the one who attacked us with you yesterday, the one who skied like a grandmother with knee trouble. I know I've been out the loop for the last 15 years, but do the hooligans really think they can assassinate me with children?"
"I'm not an assassin," pleaded Hiccup quaveringly.
"Liar!"
screeched Norbert the Nutjob, and he lurched forward as if to kill Hiccup with the axe right there and then. And then he calmed himself and smiled again and settled himself back on his throne with a wince.
"So, if you're not an assassin," smiled Norbert, "what are you doing here on Hysteria, shooting me with arrows and poisoning my soup?"
"I'm looking," said Hiccup, "for the potato."
There was an astonished silence.
"Shut up!"
said Norbert the Nutjob, looking over his shoulder as if walls had ears.
"You're not supposed to name the vegetable that no one dares name."
"Of course," said Hiccup craftily. "Now that I'm here, I realise that it was all just fairy stories. There's no such thing as a potato, is there? Because there's no such place as America. The earth is as flat as a pancake, and if you sail to the west, eventually, you just fall off the end of it."
"Rubbish!" shrieked Norbert the Nutjob. "Kill him!" he screamed, his eyes bulging, his mouth foaming,
before, with an enormous effort, he gained control of himself again.
"No, educate him, then kill him," said Norbert the Nutjob,
twiddling his fancy moustaches to soothe himself.
"The earth is as round as a circle, and a circle has no end,"
explained Norbert carefully. There is such a thing as America. I know because I've been there. And as for the vegetable that no one dares name,
I don't know what you're talking about. That's because there's no such thing, repeated Hiccup.
There is such a thing, insisted Norbert, trying to keep his temper. Isn't, said Hiccup. Is, isn't, is, isn't, is, yelled Norbert the nutjob, twiddling his fancy moustaches so hard they got all tangled in a knot. Prove there is, challenged Hiccup. I know there's such a thing as a vegetable that no one dares name, because the vegetable that no one dares name is right here in this room, cried Norbert the Nutjob.
He ran over to the wall where the map of America was hanging. With two grand sweeps of his axe, he threw aside the curtain.
Very small assassin, announced Norbert the Nutjob proudly. Say hello to Papa.
Oh, whoops, breathed Hiccup.
Norbert the Nutjob was clearly madder than a mad March hare having a nervous breakdown. For there, on a stand, larger than life, stood what looked horribly like the frozen body of Norbert the Nutjob's papa. He was standing proud and upright, every whisker frozen solid, mouth open in a soundless yell, a scary, monumental sight. One hand was on his hip, and in the other he held a casket with glass sides filled with ice. On top of the ice sat the round, rather disappointing shape of a lumpy, brownish vegetable. Surely that can't be the magical, wondrous potato, thought Hiccup. Sticking out of the vegetable was a single arrow. Norbert Papa was surrounded by a carpet of unusual dragon creatures called squealers. These weird animals are often used as primitive burglar alarm systems. They have no legs to chase after their prey, so they lie on their backs, waving their extra-long nails gently in the air. Any animal that comes into contact with those nails causes the whole pack of squealers to scream unbearably loudly. The sound is so piercingly noisy that it actually kills smaller dragons, who have much better hearing than humans, stone dead on the spot. The squealers then devour their victim, and rather like piranha fish, they can strip an animal to the bone in 60 seconds flat.
Norbert, gasped Hiccup. I thought your father was supposed to be dead.
Oh, he's dead, all right, smiled Norbert. He's as dead as a doornail. But as I was keeping the potato frozen anyway, I thought I'd freeze Papa too.
You could give your father a proper Viking funeral, shuddered Hiccup. He looks untidy standing there, and a bit spooky.
My father has his funeral on the day the Doomfang dies, shouted Norbert the Nutjob. That's why I froze him. Just before my father breathed his last, he stuck into the potato the only arrow he had left given to him by the feather people and made me promise to use this to get rid of the Doomfang.
That's impossible, objected Hiccup. You can't kill a whopping great creature like a Doomfang with one tiddly little arrow.
Not impossible. Possible, weird little red-haired boy, corrected Norbert the Nutjob. Just improbable.
And made more improbable by the fact that we can't get the arrow out of the vegetable that no one dares name. Take a look at the inscription on the casket.
Hiccup looked at the casket Big Job was holding. In it, frozen by the ice, was the disappointingly boring vegetable called the potato. And stuck in this potato was the gaudy little arrow, decorated with brilliant feathers taken from birds Hiccup would not have recognised. American birds that once flew about in undiscovered American skies. On the front of the casket was written in flowing script the following inscription.
Whomsoever removes the arrow from this vegetable shall rid us of the Doomfang and prove himself right true hero and ruler of all the Viking tribes.
We can't get the arrow out of the precious vegetable, said Norbert the Nutjob, sadly. We practice all year round with constant arm wrestling, and every year our strongest champions try and pull it out. Even I do not seem to be able to do it, although the verse is obviously referring to me. The arrow is stuck in the vegetable, and we are stuck on hysteria until the death of my father is avenged.
Hiccup looked at the potato. You can't get the arrow out of the potato because it is frozen solid. If you defrosted the potato, a child could pull it out.
Hiccup suggested. The tick was back in Norbert the Nutjob's eye.
My dying father gave me this arrow for a reason, snapped Norbert the Nutjob. It's supposed to be a test to find out who is strong enough to defeat the Doomfang. What would be the point of the test if just anybody could do it? Who are you, anyway, you small boy? And how dare you ask me all these questions?
No, I'm very glad you brought that up, Norbert, said Hiccup, soothingly. I am Hiccup Horrendous Haddock III, only son of Stoic the Vast, and my friend Fishlegs, who you also met yesterday, has had the bad luck to have got bitten by a venomous vorpent.
That is bad luck, said Norbert the Nutjob, with satisfaction. Certain death, I'd say. I can't say I'm surprised. You know, he seemed like just the sort of little weirdo that fate would have it in for.
Fishlegs is not a little weirdo, interrupted Hiccup. The point is, Norbert, I have been told that this potato of yours is the only antidote to vorpent venom, and I wonder if you could possibly spare it to save my friend's life. It would be the kindest thing you've ever done.
Norbert the Nutjob was flabbergasted.
And what, whispered Norbert the Nutjob,
would you do with my papa's precious vegetable after I gave it to you?
Well, said Hiccup, I guess my friend would eat it. For a second, Norbert the Nutjob stared into space. Then he was livid with rage,
whirling his double-headed axe around his head. Eat it! Roared Norbert the Nutjob. You shoot me in the bottom and then you want to divide up and eat my dear dead papa's precious American vegetable? Kill him! Kill him! Kill him!
After a short struggle, he calmed down again and turned to Hiccup with great dignity, holding up his arms.
I could, said Norbert the Nutjob, kill you right now, you evil vegetable murderer, but we hysterics are not like that. We hysterics are civilised. We never execute before we have given lousy potato savaging criminals an absolutely fair trial. And on hysteria...
Norbert the Nutjob gave a nasty, mad leer.
The trial you face is trial by axe.
Oh, crumbs, thought Hiccup. Norbert the Nutjob strode over to the middle of the room where there was a large tree trunk lopped off at the base.
Fate herself shall decide your fate, said Norbert the Nutjob. I shall throw my axe high into the air, and if it lands with the golden side burying itself into the wood, I shall allow you to live.
But if it lands on the dark side,
Norbert the Nutjob stroked the dark side lovingly, if it lands on the dark side, I shall kill you with this very axe on the spot. I hope you're feeling lucky.
Norbert stepped back dramatically. He gazed up at the heavens.
Come, great powers of fate and destiny, yelled Norbert the Nutjob. I swear to do as you tell me, life or death.
The axe soared towards the ceiling, spinning slowly through the air. It began to fall, first the bright side down, then the dark. Hiccup was not as tough as the other boys, but his eyesight was very good. He could see the axe was going to land dark side down, and he leapt in between the dark and bright blades and caught the axe with its wooden handle just before the dark side landed in the wood. The hysterics gasped. High up on a beam in the ceiling, Kamikaze gasped too.
Hiccup heaved the axe above his head and drove the bright blade deep into the tree trunk.
Bright side wins, Norbert the Nutjob, shouted Hiccup Horrendous Haddock III, his hands on his hips.
Nobody knew quite what to do.
Norbert the Nutjob's mouth opened and shut like a fish out of water.
You cheated! Screamed Norbert the Nutjob.
Fate must have let me cheat, Hiccup pointed out. Now, set me free like you promised.
Norbert looked as if he was about to explode.
He was used to terrified adults who cowered down before him and his terrible acts of fate. He wasn't used to bossy small boys who told him to defrost his precious potato and bury his papa and caught his axe before it landed. But what if Hiccup was right? And fate had really meant to let Hiccup cheat? Norbert did not dare annoy fate herself.
Seize him! Screamed Norbert. He can live, but he can live out his days in prison. That will teach him to shoot arrows at Norbert the Nutjob.
Four or five burly hysterics grabbed Hiccup and dragged him to a small cage suspended by a single chain from a beam in the rafters above. They pushed him in and locked the cage, returning the key to Norbert, who put it in his pocket. And then the hysterics forgot about Hiccup and partied long, long into the night, laughing and singing and eating and drinking too much. Hiccup sat silently in the small cage, trying to think of a cunning plan to get out of this situation. It didn't look too good. Even if he could escape from the locked cage, steal the potato and get away without a single hysteric noticing, he could hear some ominous creaking noises coming from the ice outside. Loud crackings and knockings like the striking of an enormous sword upon a stone. The ice was beginning to melt, and once the Doomfang was free again, there would be no way out of hysteria. And as the long night wore on, one by one, the hysterics fell asleep in their chairs or on the floor, or, in the case of one fat warrior, on top of the table hugging the remains of the roasted boar. Norbert the Nutjob slumbered on his throne, his thumb in his mouth, cradling his double-headed axe. High up in the ceiling of the great hall, Kamikaze was sleeping, clinging to her beam like a little black cat. Time ticked on, and Hiccup struggled to keep awake, but eventually the gentle rocking of the cage and the cloudy heat and fumes of alcohol in the room overpowered him, and he, too, nodded off. Viking dragons and their eggs. Squealers. Squealers are strange, blobby, slug-like creatures who are so lazy they have developed an interesting method of stunning their prey with a single shriek. A pack of squealers can strip their victim to the bone quicker than a shoal of piranha fish. Statistics. Colours, slug black. Armed with, scream so loud it can knock a smaller dragon unconscious, piranha-like jaws and fangs. Score, 8. Poison, none. Score, 0. Hunting ability, score, 7. Speed, hardly move at all. Score, 0. Fear and fight factor, scary if you are wounded or are on the small side. Score, 7. Total score, 22.